Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
In the past few weeks, we started a series called How Do You Feel? Thank you, Carlito. See, we got some awesome people here. A series, How Do You Feel? And we've started this series because in this crisis, feelings have gone up. And not just good feelings. There's good feelings, right? Most of us, we should be able to enjoy our family more. We should be a little bit more rested. We don't have to deal with traffic. Maybe you don't have to deal with your boss. And all of that can cause good feelings. But there's also negative feelings that have intensified because of this crisis. And the danger in these negative feelings is that we don't always know how to manage them. We don't know what to do with them. We don't know how to overcome them. And to make matters even worse, many people even feel and believe that there isn't much that they can do about them. That there isn't much that they can do to alleviate the discomfort and the challenges and the issues that these negative feelings bring. So we've done this series because we want to let you know that in Jesus Christ, there is power to overcome these negative feelings. And I understand that some of you may be dealing with some of these feelings and for a very, very long time. And I want to let you know that these feelings are not above Jesus, that they are under his authority, and that he may have a plan and he may have a timing. But what I do know, because his word shows us, that he has power to set us free and to give us victory over these negative feelings. So that's what we've been doing this past series. We've been looking at the Word of God, and I've said last week that we're not psychologists. We're not even professional counselors. We're pastors. So what we're doing is that we're looking at these feelings in the light of the Word of God. And we believe that Jesus gives us answers, that Jesus gives us practical steps as to what to do regarding certain feelings. Now, I know because I've been in that place. And next week, as we talk about depression, I'll share my personal story. I know that there's cases where professional help is needed. And some of you, you not only need Jesus. You need Jesus first and foremost. But you also need a counselor. You also need a professional therapist. And your faith, combined with professional help, can be the tool that God uses to help you overcome those negative feelings. So we've talked about what to do when you feel overwhelmed. We talked about what to do when you feel fear, when you feel worry. And last week, we started anxiety. And today, this is the second part of it. So I want to do a quick recap, and then we'll continue with the three things that Jesus says about anxiety. And what you need to know is that there is a lot of connection. There is a big connection between fear, worry, stress, and anxiety. In fact, most of us, when we experience those feelings, we experience them bunched up in a ball of feelings. And worry and anxiety, they're very similar. In fact, most people use them interchangeably. But what differs them, what separates them, it's the level of intensity. Worry is when in your mind, you constantly play the negative that could happen. When you constantly play the negative outcomes that could come your way. And when you do that over and over, that's worry. But when you do it to a very extent level, that worry turns into anxiety. And anxiety is when you lose the control of your mind. And you can't control the negative thoughts, the negative feelings, the negative that is happening in your mind. And it reaches such an intense level that then it begins to affect your body. See, worry happens in our mind. Anxiety happens in our body. And anxiety is very harmful for us. It could cause us to age prematurely. It could cause us to not be able to focus. It could cause us to lose weight. It could cause all kinds of negative things. So that's why it is wise for us to be able to not just cope with anxiety, but to be able to overcome it. And did you know, here's a beautiful thing. This is why as pastors, we're looking at these feelings in light of the word of God. Did you know that about 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on this earth, people dealt with anxiety? Anxiety is not a thing of just America. Anxiety is not just a thing of the modern era. Anxiety has been in this world since Jesus' times and even before then. In fact, there's one instance, there's one biblical story where Jesus addresses this negative feeling. And that's what we've been looking at. If you have your Bibles, would you open them or turn them on to Matthew 6:24? We're going to read all the way to verse 34. If you don't have it, maybe you want to go grab it. This is an awesome story. You can read along with us. Matthew 6:24-34. Here's what the Word of God says. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds, Jesus says, that don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Let me say that again, because I feel like somebody needs to hear that. Aren't you far more valuable to God than birds are? And the answer is yes. Look at what verse 28 says. And why worry? Oh, verse 27, I'm sorry. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Jesus asks. Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. In this rich passage, we have identified three things that Jesus points to help us overcome our anxiety. Last week, we looked at point number one, and we said that to overcome anxiety, the first thing that Jesus says is that we need to acknowledge that our focus determines our anxiety. That our focus, that our devotion determines our anxiety. Because anxiety is a matter of devotion. It's what you focus on. The things that produce the most anxiety in our lives are the things that we're devoted to. The things that really matter to us. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because our emotions are linked to our devotion. And that is why Jesus says in verse 24 of that passage, he says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Jesus begins to talk about worry and anxiety by saying, listen, what you're devoted to, what you're focused on, is where we need to start. And some of us, we're anxious. We worry all the time because our focus is not on the Lord. Our devotion is not on the Lord. So the second thing that Jesus says, to overcome anxiety, we need to change our focus. To overcome your anxiety, we need to change our focus. According to Jesus, if anxiety is the result of our focus, well, then we need to change our focus. And Jesus points to two things. He talks about two very important things there. He says our devotion to God and our devotion to things, our devotion to money, our devotion to material possessions, to wealth. Listen, Jesus points out something very powerful in this passage. And that is that when it comes to anxiety, that when it comes to focus, that when it comes to worry, we have a choice. So the second thing that he's going to tell us is that we get to decide what our focus is going to be on. And he says, make your focus, make your devotion to the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 31 of that passage. He says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Jesus says three times in this passage not to worry, because worry is a waste of time. And he says, don't waste your life worrying about those things. Not because they're not important. They are. But God wants it. Jesus wants you to focus on God because God is bigger. The life that God has for you is bigger than those material worries or those things that are causing you anxiety. See, God, in the life that God has for you, it's like the ocean. And when we worry about, you know, are we going to have enough retirement? And am I going to lose this friendship? Am I not going to get into this opportunity? When we worry about those things, anxiety is like a drop of water into the ocean. Or take a rope that it's 500 miles long. And anxiety in this life would be like a dash in that 500 mile long rope. And Jesus says, don't focus on those things. Don't focus on the dash. Don't focus on the drop. Because the life that God has for you, the life that is found in God, is much greater. See, Jesus is saying that we need to live with our feet on the ground. But we should not allow temporary things to rob us of the gift to be able to live. But Jesus also says another thing. He says that we need to change our focus from material possessions, from the things of this world, to God because of our relationship. Because our relationship with God should be such that it should change our focus. Look at what he says in verse 32. He says, these things dominate the thoughts of who? Unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all you need. Unbelievers are people who haven't placed their faith in God. Unbelievers are people who are not following God, who are not disciples of Jesus. Unbelievers don't have any other option but to focus on this life because that's all there is. But Jesus says you have a relationship with your Father. And that relationship needs to change your focus. See, because of who he is to you, because of the fact that you have a relationship, these material things shouldn't be your main focus. He should be your main focus. See, we have a majestic, we have a great, we have a glorious, we have a powerful, we have an eternal God. And this God is our heavenly Father. And that relationship should affect the way we live this life. You know, one of the most proud titles that I have is that of a father. I love my children. And although they've gotten on our nerves these past few months, as I'm sure your kids have gotten on your nerves, I still love them. And I like to do the best that I can for them. And I want to be able to provide for them. And I tell you what, right now, Maisie, Kaylee, and Nathan don't have to worry about anything. All they worry about is if we're going to let them watch movies. But they don't have to worry what they're going to eat, if they're going to have clothes to wear, if they're going to have a house tomorrow. Why? Because I, as their dad, that's my concern. That's my part. And the same is true about you and God. You delight, you trust in God, you focus on God, you devote to God, and you let him take care of your needs. You see, as Christians, as sons and daughters of the Lord, we don't need to get drunk to overcome anxiety and worry. We don't need to look for drugs or a pastime to try to distract our mind from those things. No, we got something greater. We have a heavenly Father who can provide and meet all of our needs. So first, Jesus says, acknowledge that your anxiety is a matter of focus. Second, change your focus. Be devoted, be focused to God. And the third thing that he's going to teach us is that to overcome anxiety, we need to focus on the kingdom of God. To be more specific about focusing on God, Jesus says, focus on the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God. And many of us were familiar with this verse. Above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything what you need. He will give you everything you need. Question. If we had everything we needed, would we still worry? Would we still feel anxious? The answer is no, we wouldn't, right? We worry, we stress, we fear, we get anxious over those things that we don't have, that we can't control. And God promises to give us those things. But here's the thing, here's the thing. When is it that God promises to give us those things? When we put God first, when we seek his kingdom first. So church, here's what we need to understand. Overcoming anxiety requires that we make a decision to put God first. Many Christians are struggling with anxiety because they don't have God first in their lives. Their job is first. Their family is first. Their own entertainment is first. Their looks are first. And the reason we are experiencing anxiety is because God is not first. And see, putting God first, it's not a thing that you do once and then you forget about it. No, it's something that you got to do day after day after day. So here's the golden nugget for you today, to kind of piggyback right on Pastor Ruben's title from Wednesday. Here's your golden nugget. Prioritizing God results in less worry and anxiety in our lives. So how do we prioritize God? How do we do it in a practical way? Well, in Genesis 5:22, we have the story of Enoch. And Genesis tells us that Enoch walked with God for about 300 years, and then God took him. That Enoch lived with such relationship with God that not only did God give him a long life, but God took him. But in Hebrews 11, the Bible tells us that before God took him, that Enoch left a testimony of somebody that pleased God. That Enoch not only put God first, that Enoch not only enjoyed a long life in God, but that Enoch left a testimony of somebody that pleased God. Let's read it, and then I want us to look at what was it about Enoch that pleased God. What was it? Well, here's what Hebrews 11, 5, and 6 says. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because what? God took him. Beat me up, Scotty, right? For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. You know, when I die, I want them to write on my tomb that I was a person that pleased God. But I want it to be true. So I want to live in a way that pleases God. Look at what verse 6 says. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. What was it about Enoch that pleased God so much that God said, I want to bring this guy into my presence now? You know what it was? It was faith. It was the fact that Enoch devoted, he sought, he put God first. And if you want to reach the end of your life, and people, for people to be able to say he was a person that pleased God, there's three things that you can do every day, that you can do every moment of your life to put God first. What are those? Well, to put God first, give God your time. Give God your time. Give God the first moments of your day. As soon as you wake up, don't turn on the TV. Don't turn on Facebook. Don't turn on music. Direct your thoughts, direct your words to God and say, Lord, thank you for this day. I'm counting on you to be with me. I'm depending on your power, and I want to honor you throughout this day. Devote your first moments of your day to God. And also make time to be with him. Church, right now, a lot of the distractions have been taken away. There really should be no excuse for us to not be spending time with God. If you are not getting in the Word, if you are not spending time in prayer, if you are not spending time with the Lord, let me tell you something, then your focus is not in the Lord, and you really need to check your relationship with him. We need to put God first more than ever. You know, I believe the Lord is giving us a break, but even in our Sabbaths, we need to put God first. and doing devotion, doing prayer. These things are not tasks. They're part of our relationship. They're part of our devotion to the Lord. So we need to be spending time with God. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, start one today. If you are not praying, decide to do that today. Give God your time. But the second thing, if you want to put God first and please Him, you got to give Him your treasures. You got to give God your treasures. Listen, I know that we're in a crisis, we're in a pandemic, but I have seen God bless us. I have seen the majority of us thrive during this time. I've talked to people who said, Pastor, I haven't made so much money as I have during this time. My business has gone up. I've gotten bonuses. You know, there's all these things going on. And listen, God blesses us so that we can enjoy it, but He also blesses us so that we can sponsor His kingdom, so that we can contribute to His kingdom. The truth is that if you're not giving, God doesn't have your heart. Because Jesus said that wherever your treasure was, there your heart was going to be. And I know that's hard to say. And I know some of you may not like me because I say that. But when we give, we demonstrate, God, we love you. Because it's a lot easier to give God your words than it is to give God your hard-earned money. Third thing, if you want to put God first, give God your talents. Give God your talents. You know, the Lord gave us talents. He gave us skills. And He did this not only so that we could make a living. He did this not only so that we could know our purpose, but He did this so that we could honor Him and bless others. And many of us, we're only using our talents for our own benefit. We're not blessing others, and we're not contributing to His kingdom. You want to put God first? Use your talents for Him. You know, earlier I talked about Paul and Tepe. These two guys are a great example of this point. Paul works as a professional sound technician in Six Flags and in other places. And he's been here helping us. Tepe works. I always forget if it's Telemundo or Univision. Forgive me, Tepe. But he works and he's been able to use his camera knowledge. He's also a professional photographer and he's helped us to be able to do this. And you are blessed. You are blessed because of their talents. Who needs to be blessed because of your talents? Third, fourth, and least, to overcome anxiety, the fourth thing that Jesus says, and this is very powerful, and I think it's going to liberate some of you today. He says, do what you can today and trust God for tomorrow. Do what you can today and trust God for tomorrow. Look how Jesus ends his teaching in verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own, what? Worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. See, anxiety focuses on what comes next, on what comes tomorrow. And Jesus has already said, worry and anxiety is useless, so don't do it. He says, do what you can today and let me take care of tomorrow. See, there's nothing we can do about tomorrow. We have no control over tomorrow. We can make plans. We can try to invest in tomorrow. But the truth is that we don't even know if we will be here tomorrow. So Jesus says, He says, you want to overcome anxiety because anxiety focuses on the future? Live today. Do what you can today and learn to rest in the Lord. Did you catch that? It's important that we do it in that order. Do what you can today, then rest in the Lord. See, miracles happen when individuals did what they could and then they made room for God to do what they couldn't. That's when miracles happen. When individuals, they went to God and they cried out to God and they trusted God. They did what they could and then they let God do the rest. Do what you can today and let God deal with tomorrow. You see, we're anxious because we can't control tomorrow. So you say, Pastor, what do we do about tomorrow? Well, you give it to God. Look at what 1 Peter 5:7 says. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. And then Psalms 55:22 says this. Give your burdens to the Lord, and He will take care of you. I want to ask the worship team if they would come up and start getting ready. Church, you who's watching me, if you have anxiety today, do what you can today. Fill out the form. Make the call. Go to the place. Do what you can today. And then give it to God. Let me tell you something. You can trust God. God can take care of you. God can take care of your children. God can take care of your husband. God can take care of your wife. God can take care of your parents better than you can. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. Do what you can today. And let God handle the rest.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare Him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart, and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but He didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you. Transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in Him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.